Our new worldwide robot economy may develop its own problems, and for that reason, we have the machines. The Earth's economy is stable and will remain stable because it is based upon the decisions of calculating machines that have the good of humanity at heart through the overwhelming force of the first law of robotics. Stephen Byerly continued, "And although the machines are nothing but the vastest conglomeration of calculating circuits ever invented, they are still robots within the meaning of the first law, and so our Earth-wide economy is in accord with the best interests of man. The population of Earth knows that there will be no unemployment, no overproduction or shortages. Waste and famine are words in history books. And so the question of ownership of the means of production becomes obsolescent. Whoever owned them, if such a phrase has meaning, a man, a group, a nation, or all mankind, they could be utilized only as the machines directed. Not because men were forced to, but because it was the wisest course and men knew it. It puts an end to war, not only to the last cycle of wars, but to the next and to all of them. Unless." A long pause, and Dr. Calvin encouraged him by repetition. "Unless." The fire crouched and skittered along a log, then popped up. "Unless," said the coordinator, "the machines don't fulfill their function." "I see. And that is where those trifling maladjustments come in which you mentioned a while ago. Steel, hydroponics, and so on." "Exactly. Those errors should not be. Dr. Silver tells me they cannot be." "Does he deny the facts? How unusual." "No, he admits the facts, of course. I do him an injustice. What he denies is that any error in the machine is responsible for the so-called, his phrase, errors in the answers. He claims that the machines are self-correcting and that it would violate the fundamental laws of nature for an error to exist in the circuits of relays. And so I said..."
"And you said, have your boys check them and make sure anyway."
"Susan, you read my mind. It was what I said. And he said he couldn't."
"Too busy."
"No, he said that no human could. He was frank about it. He told me, and I hope I understand him properly, that the machines are a gigantic extrapolation. Thus, a team of mathematicians work several years calculating a positronic brain equipped to do certain similar acts of calculation. Using this brain, they make further calculations to create a still more complicated brain, which they use again to make one still more complicated, and so on. According to Silver, what we call the machines are the result of 10 such steps."
"Yes, that sounds familiar.
Fortunately, I'm not a mathematician." "Poor Vincent. He is a young man. The directors before him, Alfred Lanning and Peter Bogart, are dead, and they had no such problems. Nor had I. Perhaps roboticists as a whole should now die, since we can no longer understand our own creations."
"Apparently not.
The machines are not super brains in Sunday supplement sense, although they are so pictured in the Sunday supplements. It is merely that in their own particular province of collecting and analyzing a nearly infinite number of data and relationships thereof, in nearly infinitesimal time, they have progressed beyond the possibility of detailed human control." "And then I tried something else. I actually asked the machine. In the strictest secrecy, we fed it the original data involved in the Steele decision, its own answer, and the actual development since, the overproduction, that is, and asked for an explanation of the discrepancy."
"Good. And what was its answer?"
"I can quote you that, word for word. The matter admits of no explanation."
"And how did Vincent interpret that?"
"In two ways. Either we had not given the machine enough data to allow a definite answer, which was unlikely. Dr. Silver admitted that. Or else it was impossible for the machine to admit that it could give any answer to data which implied that it could harm a human being.
This naturally is implied by the first law. And then Dr. Silver recommended that I see you. Susan Calvin looked very tired.
I'm old, Stephen.
When Peter Bogart died, they wanted to make me director of research, and I refused. I wasn't young then either, and I did not wish the responsibility. They let young Silver have it, and that satisfied me. But what good is it if I am dragged into such messes?
Stephen, let me state my position.
My researches do indeed involve the interpretation of robot behavior in the light of the three laws of robotics. Here, now, we have these incredible calculating machines. They are positronic robots and therefore obey the laws of robotics. But they lack personality. That is, their functions are extremely limited. Must be, since they are so specialized. Therefore, there is very little room for the interplay of the laws, and my one method of attack is virtually useless. In short, I don't know that I can help you, Stephen.
The coordinator laughed shortly. Nevertheless, let me tell you the rest. Let me give you my theories, and perhaps you will then be able to tell me whether they are possible in the light of robopsychology.
By all means, go ahead.
Well, since the machines are giving the wrong answers, then, assuming that they cannot be in error, there is only one possibility. They are being given the wrong data. In other words, the trouble is human and not robotic. So I took my recent planetary inspection tour,
from which you have just returned to New York.
Yes. It was necessary, you see, since there are four machines, one handling each of the planetary regions, and all four are yielding imperfect results.
Oh, but that follows, Stephen. If any one of the machines is imperfect, that will automatically reflect in the result of the other three, since each of the others will assume as part of the data on which they base their own decisions the perfection of the imperfect fourth. With a false assumption, they will yield false answers.
Uh-huh. So it seemed to me. Now, I have here the records of my interviews with each of the regional vice coordinators. Would you look through them with me? Oh, and first, have you heard of the Society for Humanity?
Yes.
They are an outgrowth of the fundamentalists who have kept U.S. robots from ever employing positronic robots on the grounds of unfair labor competition and so on. The Society for Humanity itself is anti-machine, is it not?
Yes, yes, but, well, you will see.
Shall we begin? We'll start with the Eastern region.
As you say.
The Eastern region. A. Area, 7,500,000 square miles. B. Population, 1,700,000,000. C. Capital, Shanghai.